Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Hump Day Wednesday, February 4th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. If you want to get a comment into the show, please do so. Greatly appreciate that. And also, please do not send me any videos or long stories during the show. I don't have time to look at those. And honestly, if you send them to me during the show, I totally forgot you send them to me after 12 noon. Moving on to other things I have to get done today, well, I probably won't even see it. So if there's any videos or long stories that you want me to see, make sure you send them to me after 12 noon. Greatly appreciate that. Keeping candidate addresses off petitions now being considered in a committee. The objectives of ensuring candidates and elected officials' privacy while also making their areas of residence more transparent to the voters might seem to be somewhat in tension. Rochelle Schmidt, the chair of the House Committee on Election Integrity, has introduced and testified about her bill, House Bill 5468. With legislation as it's currently written, her bill would make two main changes. For one, it would remove a requirement for candidates running for public office to include a street address on their nominating petitions. And though congressional candidates aren't constitutionally required to reside in the district that they're running for, Schmidt's bill would require them to indicate whether they do or not on their nominating petitions. State representatives from both parties were broadly supportive of Schmidt's bill during Tuesday's committee hearing. However, they did raise some questions about just how effective the first prong of the legislation would be in bolstering the privacy of public officials and candidates, which many across the nation are seeking amid rising political violence and even attacks on politicians. That's mainly because the bill would only require candidates to put their city or township of residence on their nominating petition and not their specific home address. A separate document needed to run for office would still contain it, that being, of course, the affidavit of identity. Those are easily accessible at the county clerk's office. If they won't automatically just give it to you when you ask for it, at a bare minimum, you can always send a FOIA request to get it. Well, The document, that document, the affidavit of identity, functions as a sworn legal filing with the local county clerk and to the Secretary of State, proving that a candidate is, in fact, who they say they are. Though it's not likely to be circulated publicly in a way, but nominating petitions clarifies the affidavit of identity and is still subject to the Freedom of Information Act. But therefore, it is a public document. So the bill doesn't fully shield a candidate's address from public view. So those are some hang-ups that some of the folks on the committee brought up. Pat Altman, representative, asked Schmidt about the rationale for trying to strike the addresses from the nominating sheets. She said simply, "I guess just to verify that they indeed live where they live without naming specifically the street address." So that's moving through the committee process and could be amended both in the House and the Senate. Short break. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two on this Wednesday. Detroit Democrat Adam Hollyer announced yesterday suspending his run for Secretary of State, and also that he will now be running to return to the state Senate for a second full term. Hollyer announced Tuesday on social media, 11:30 a.m., that he is dropping out for Secretary of State and will be running in the 3rd State Senate District based in Detroit's East Side. It includes Hamtramck and Highland Park. Hollyer left the Senate after the 2021-2022 term, after he unsuccessfully tried running for the 13th U.S. House District and ended up coming in second place to current U.S. Congressman Sri Thanadar of Detroit. He lost that primary race by 3,797 votes in a nine-person. Nine Democrats were running in that primary. Well, the reason for him suspending his campaign is due to the fact that Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, who had been running for governor, announced on January 12th, my birthday, that he was going to run for Secretary of State. Well, with Gilchrist securing large union endorsements, first by the Michigan Education Association, that, of course, folks, is the teachers' union, the UAW, the United Auto Workers, and then recently the AFL-CIO. This all happening before and ahead, well ahead of the April 19th endorsement convention that the Democrats will hold, where members of the party will determine their picks for both Secretary of State and Attorney General. Well, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, Hollyer follows Deputy Secretary of State Adevi in dropping their bids for Secretary of State in the aftermath of Gilchrist entering the race. Hollyer, Adevi, and Gilchrist are all black men residing in Detroit. Hollyer, in his final statement, said, "Last year, I sought to do something that hadn't been done since Richard Austin took office in 1971. And that is elect a statewide black candidate. I know that it is more important that we have strong black leadership on the statewide ticket, and that was what I was driven to do, to be the leader of for our party. Now I'm seeking another term in the Michigan State Senate where I know I can best serve the people of my district." I did not realize Richard Austin was elected back in 1971, and he served, I forget how many terms. But that was amazing. That was a long run that he had. And, yeah, he thought he could be the second Richard Austin. Well, that campaign's been suspended, and now he's focusing on his reelection to the Michigan State Senate in District 3. Now, one of the things that Hollyer said is service is always come first for me. Whether it started off in the firehouse, where he's a volunteer firefighter, to the Army, or to the State Senate. Also, one thing that he wants people to know, he was recently named the director of the Michigan's Veterans Affairs Agency while serving in the United States Army Reserves. Now, there are four other Democratic candidates are currently looking at running for that seat. This is kind of interesting. Abani Taylor, who's the vice president of Higher Heights for America, the 501c4 aimed at promoting black women in politics. She's also the Michigan executive director for Mothering Justice, the nonprofit that pushed for the omnibus bill in Lansing to investigate reasons behind black pregnancy complications and deaths. Mothering Justice was also the plaintiff in a 2018 lawsuit challenging the legislature's mishandling of a citizen-run petition effort to reform Michigan's tipped wage and earned sick time standards. Now, also running for the seat is John Conyers III, son of the previous United States Congressman John Conyers, who died back in 2019. Conyers tried running in the same 2022 primary for the 13th congressional district that Hollyer did, but he came in fourth place with only 8.6% of the vote. Others raising money for the seat, Corey Hall. That's Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Detroit office director. And Theodore Jones, he's the Senior Director of Talent Initiative at Global Detroit. Now, it's kind of interesting because Taylor has raised so far $10,567 for the seat. Jones raised $8,638 and has $13,386 in the bank. Conyers did not have his campaign finance report uploaded. But as a statewide candidate, Hollyer was able to raise $100,775 ending in January. So right now, Hollyer appears to be the one with the most money, and the fact that he had served before in the state Senate might be a leg up on these other candidates. Now, one of the things that we're looking at here, folks, and discussing these various races is because of the fact that Michigan has constitutionally 38 state senators. Right now, 19 of them are Democrats, 18 are Republican. So the Democrats have a one-seat majority, and therefore they control all the committees as well as the gavel. Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks, Democrat, is from Grand Rapids. Well, on May 5th, this election between Jason Tooney, the Republican attorney from Saginaw, and Cedric Green, the captain, fire chief captain in Saginaw, are going to be facing each other in this special runoff election. Once that election is settled, they too will have to run in November to get reelected. So with that, these races are very, very critical as to who controls the Senate chamber. And the one thing that is kind of interesting to all of this, the fact that this is the last year, thank you God, for the governorship of Gretchen Whitmer. But there's some major things that have got to take place. Voting on and passing a budget before June 30th. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has already announced and will be announcing at her State of the State address, whenever that's going to be, that she wants the budget turned in early this year. She does not want to wait until September 30th like they did this past year. By getting the budget in early, Everybody can vote on it, send it to the governor's desk, and local school districts, local municipalities can know how much money they're getting in order to prepare their budgets during this upcoming summer. Well, additionally, Whitmer does not want to head into the last-minute campaign season for the August primary on August 4th, having to deal with budget. So all of this is factoring in to how this is going to play out later this summer, heading into that August 4th primary. And again, want to remind you, you have to make sure you start talking about the August 4th primary as well as the November 3rd general election. Why? Because that is critically, critically important. We have got to look at getting out the vote along the same numbers that we did November 5th, 2024. That is critically important. And one thing you have to understand, this process changes the direction of our state. It's what I'm basically calling 2026 midterm election. The direction of Michigan. Do we want to become even more progressive, more left-leaning than we are already? Or do we want to bring it back more towards center or even slightly to the right? This is the election, folks. This is the one that will determine whether we become the next California or whether we go back to our roots. Because basically, almost my entire adult life, we've been leaning toward the right, with the exception, of course, Governor Jennifer Granholm and now Gretchen Whitmer. But one thing you have to understand, the future of our state with regards to constitutional enforcement, fixing what's wrong with the state's economy, absolutely going after and factoring that we need to deregulate this state. The regulations, folks, in the state of Michigan is absolutely choking the life out of businesses and new startups. If we are going to get a good, strong Republican governor to basically implement new changes, we got to get out the vote. If we sit back on our laurels like we did in 2022, this midterm election is going to be an absolute disaster for a new direction for our state. We are going to be talking about different things that you can do and absolutely change the direction, the outcome of this election. We're going to talk about it in the next half hour. We're going to go through it in detail, and I'll have a link for you to request from me so that you can take part in this. We're going to get into it, and we're going to break it down for you and explain to you how you can affect the outcome of the election, both in the August 4th primary and then the November 3rd general election. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.